Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we come to the concluding verses in the long sentence that constitutes a section in 2 Peter chapter 2 regarding divine judgment. Peter's sentence begins in verse 4 and concludes in verse 10. And so far we have studied verses 4 through 8. We still have verses 9 and 10 to go. But it's all one sentence. And the main point is the certainty of God's judgment upon the ungodly, and the secondary point is the certainty of God's deliverance of the righteous. This is within the context of the introduction of the reality of false teachers. And Peter is assuring his readers that false teachers, though they deny a future day of judgment, like many false teachers do today, that's usually one of the doctrines that gets questioned and rejected, namely the doctrine of eternal retribution, of divine judgment. But Peter is saying, though many false teachers in his day deny this subject, it is nevertheless true whether they believe it or not, whether they affirm it or not, whether they teach it or not, and, as a matter of fact, they themselves are going to be recipients of the very divine judgment which they deny. And with that, Peter gives three examples of past episodes of God's judgment, and two of those include accounts of God's deliverance. And then he draws a conclusion from all of this, and that's where we're going today, is to the concluding statements, the concluding statement in the concluding verses, namely verses 9 and 10. But you may recall that the episodes of judgment that Peter offers as evidence are number 1, of the angels that sinned, verse 4, number 2, of the ancient world in the days of Noah, verse 5, and number 3, of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, verses 6 through 8. And in the case of the flood in Noah's day, there was also deliverance along with the judgment, as there was as well with Sodom and Gomorrah in the case of Lot. And now, with that predicate, we come to the conclusion of it all, and we'll look at that as we gather together again today around the Word of God, thankful for your presence and for this opportunity that is made possible by the financial gifts of our radio listeners. All right, here's what we have in verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, period. I had a wrinkle on my page at one word, and I was having a little trouble with that word, lust. But that's the conclusion, and basically Peter is just summarizing what he has already said, but let me read these concluding verses again, the final statement. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. So judgment is coming, and judgment for the ungodly is as certain as deliverance for the godly. And here's what Peter tells us in the first part of verse 9, namely that there is such a thing as divine deliverance. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation or out of judgment. And that, of course, is a statement of assurance and comfort. Now, what is the connection? The statement in verse 9 begins in my English Bible with the word then. In the NIV, it's translated, if this is so. And, of course, it follows what has gone before. If Noah was delivered out of divine judgment in his day, and Lot was delivered out of divine judgment in his day, then, now we come to verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God is no petty tyrant. God is no bully. God doesn't just fly off the handle. He doesn't lose his temper. He does not punish unrighteously or unnecessarily. The Lord knows those who are his, and he delivers them. That's a great statement of assurance for those who are the people of God. God knows who his children are. God knows who has been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. God knows those who have believed in Jesus to the saving of their souls, and he will deliver them, everyone, out of the judgment that he will surely, certainly, absolutely bring upon the unrepentant wicked. But the same God who promises judgment for the wicked also promises deliverance for the believer, for the righteous. That's the connection with that word then, and then the conclusion follows, and that speaks of God's power. The Lord knows how to deliver. Then, if these things are true that have just been described about the judgment in Noah's day and Noah's deliverance and the judgment in Lot's day and the deliverance of Lot, then the Lord obviously knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to deliver. Not simply that he has the knowledge, but he also has the ability to do it. He has the wisdom and the power. The Lord knows how to deliver. It's not a matter of simply knowing, but he knows how to deliver. He knows how to deliver on deliverance. He has the wisdom to do it. He has the power to do it. And nothing can overcome his power. The Lord is well able to rescue the godly from their trial, any trial, every trial, including the trial of divine retribution upon the wicked. And when the righteous are in the context of that, as they were in Noah's day, judgment fell upon the whole world in which Noah was a part. It fell upon the very spot where Noah lived. It fell upon his house. It fell upon his animals. It fell upon his world, his little world. Obviously, the world was his world, but using the world in a different sense, in the world in which was Noah's world, the place of his where he carried out his life, the judgment fell there just as much as it fell upon the world of the ungodly. But God delivered Noah out of that. It doesn't mean he spared his house from destruction. It doesn't mean he spared his land. We don't know if Noah had a farm. We don't know much about Noah in that regard. But God didn't spare those things from judgment. Noah was right there in the place, in the context where the judgment fell, but God delivered him. God knows how to do that, and God has promised to do that. And the same thing with Lot. Lot was right in the midst of the place where destruction occurred, where the judgment fell. And if he had stayed there, he would have been consumed by the fire that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It destroyed his house. It destroyed his property. It destroyed his livestock, if he had any. It destroyed everything he had. It burned up his world. The judgment fell in the very place where Lot had carried out his life for at least 20 years, but the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. He knows how to do that. He knew how to do it in Noah's day. He knew how to do it in Lot's day. And he knows how to do it in our day. Now, let me just insert a little something here that deals with the issues of eschatology, that is, the doctrine of last things. I've heard it said sometimes that because God promises to deliver his people out of judgment, that that's evidence for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, I'm not going to deal with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, but I'm going to deal with this. It's not necessary that God rescue his people out of the world in order to preserve them from the judgment that falls. God has all kinds of ways of doing that, and he doesn't necessarily need to whisk them completely out of the world in order to do it. In the case of Noah, Noah stayed in the world, and when it was all over, he was returned to the world, and he'd just been floating above it in the ark on the water that God had flooded the world with, in the boat that God had given him instructions to build. God knew how to rescue him, not by taking him out of the world, but by protecting him in the midst of the judgment that fell upon the rest of the world. And in the case of Lot, though Lot was removed from Sodom and Gomorrah, he wasn't taken out of the world. He wasn't whisked up to heaven or anything like that. But he was nevertheless protected, saved, delivered out of the judgment that fell. And God knows how to do that. In other words, what I'm saying is, this text that we're looking at in 2 Peter obviously does not contribute much to the debate about whether the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, except it contributes this much. It is impossible, in the light of this text, to say that the only way that God can keep his promise to spare his children from judgment is to take them completely out of the world. We can't be here when the tribulation comes. We can't be here when that particular judgment falls. If we were here, God would have been unfaithful to his promise. No, all kinds of ways that God can protect and deliver his children. The promise is that he will deliver the righteous. The Lord knows how to do that. But we must be willing to leave it up to him as to how he does that, what method he chooses. We can't dictate that to him. Well, it seems to me like the only way that that could be done is if you do it this way, Lord. Oh, boy, we're getting into dangerous territory when we start talking to God that way. Let's just be content with this. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how, and he has done it in the past, and he has promised to do it in the future, and that's all we need to know. God's children are safe. God's children are secure. God's children are promised deliverance. Therefore, there's nothing for us to fear. We just trust God to do it in his way, according to his plan, according to his power, and that's all we need to know. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.